Isn't it wonderful to have a former city treasurer, former state treasurer, and former United States treasurer on call? Mary Ellen, thank you so much for the information about what happened to the coins. She's a lovely woman. I wish I had gotten to know her a long time ago, but I didn't live here, and so I didn't get to know her. She's a lovely woman. I really enjoy talking with her, and I enjoy introducing people to her. That gives me great pride that she is one of our treasures here in Marion. Mary Ellen Withrow. What was it? Under Clinton, I believe she was the treasurer. Yeah. Okay, someday I'm going to get a $2 bill from that time period and ask her if she'll sign it. Now, I'm not sure if that's legal or not, but I'm going to ask. Anyway, all right, I thought I would read, as I've been doing over the last 3 or 4 weeks, read a speech that had something to do with our history that most of us have not heard. Andrew Jackson, our president back in, I don't have the date, somewhere in the late 17, early 1800s. I'm sorry, I didn't listen in class. I don't know when all the presidents were presidents, but anyway, I'm going to read this. It's called Andrew Jackson's Speech to Congress on the Indian Removal. Okay. Something's going wrong here. I've had this problem before, and I'm going to have to figure out what I've done wrong again. All right? Hang on with me, and I will turn that off. There we go. And later on, I'm going to have to ask Scott. Scott, if you're listening, you may have to reset this. I've got it recording. That's good. And I thought I hit the little yellow thing, but I may not have. So anyway, I will get on my cell phone and ask him at the next break. All right. Andrew Jackson's speech to Congress on Indian Removal. Doesn't say resettlement or anything. Indian removal, all right? This was his speech. It gives me pleasure to announce to Congress that the benevolent policy of the government, steadily pursued for nearly 30 years in relationship to the removal of the Indians beyond the white settlements, is approaching to a happy consummation. Two important tribes have accepted the provision made for their removal at the last session of Congress, and it is believed that their example will induce the remaining tribes also to seek the same obvious advantages. The consequences of a speedy removal will be important to the United States, to individual states, and to the Indians themselves. The pecuniary advantages which it promises to the government are the least of the recommendations. It puts an end to all possible danger of collision between the authorities of the general and the state governments on account of the Indians. It will place a dense and civilized population in tracts of country now occupied by a few savage hunters. By opening the whole territory between Tennessee in the north and Louisiana in the south, the settlement of whites will incalculably strengthen the southwestern frontier and render the adjacent states strong enough to repel future invasions without remote aid. It will relieve the whole state of Mississippi and the western part of Alabama of Indian occupancy and enable those states to advance rapidly in population, wealth, and power. It will separate the Indians from immediate contact with the settlements of whites, free them from the power of the states, enable them to pursue happiness on their own way and under their own rude institutions. It will retard the progress of decay, which is lessening their numbers, and perhaps cause them gradually, under the protection of the government and through the influence of good counsels, to cast off their savage habits and becoming an interesting, civilized, and Christian community. What good man would prefer a country covered with forest and ranged by a few thousand savages of our extensive republic, studded by cities, towns, and prosperous farms embellished with all the improvements which art can devise or industry execute, or occupied by more than 12,000 or 12 million happy people and filled with all the blessings of liberty, civilization, and religion? The present policy of the government is but a continuation of the same progressive change by a milder process. The tribes which occupy the countries now constituting the eastern states are annihilated or have melted away to make room for the whites. The waves of population and civilization are rolling into the westward, and we now propose to acquire the countries occupied by the red men of the south and the west by a fair exchange and at the expense of the United States, to send them to land where their existence may be prolonged and perhaps made perpetual. Doubtless, it will be painful to leave the graves of their fathers, but what do they more than our ancestors did, or that our children are doing now, to better their condition in an unknown land, or forefathers left all that was dear in earthly objects? Our children, by thousands, our children, by thousands, yearly, leave the land of their birth and seek new homes in distant regions. Does humanity weep at those painful separations from everything, animate and inanimate, which the young heart has become entwined with? Far from it. It is rather a source of joy that our country affords scope where our young population may range unconstrained in body and or in mind, developing the power and the facilities of man in their highest perfections. These remove hundreds and almost thousands of miles at their own expense, purchase the lands they occupy, and support themselves at their new homes from the moment of their arrival. Can it be cruel in this government? Can it be cruel in this government when, by events which it cannot control, the Indian is made discontented in his ancient home to purchase his land, to give him a new extensive territory, to pay the expenses of his removal, and support him in a year in his new abode? How many thousands of our own people would gladly embrace National Park Service, park museum management programs, teaching and museum collections, the opportunities of removing to the West on such conditions? If the offers made to the Indians were extended to them, they would hail and be gratified with joy. And is it supposed that the wandering savage has a stronger attachment to his home than the settled, civilized Christians? Is it more afflicting to him to leave the graves of his father than it is for our brothers and children? Rightly considered, the policy of the general government toward the red man is not only liberal, but it's generous. He is unwilling to submit to the laws of the state and mingle with the other population. To save him from this alternative, or perhaps utter annihilation, the general government kindly offers him a new home and proposes to pay the whole expense of his removal and settlement. That was the speech that Andrew Jackson gave about the Indian removal. Did you see in any of that some hypocrisy, some lies? I read that and I'm thinking to myself, how in the world can he say that with a straight face? Well, they didn't like the Indians, and they thought the Indians were subhuman, much like they thought their slaves were subhuman. I find the entire speech, not only is it annoying and ignorant, but it is totally, I mean, if you're supposedly a Christian nation, now that is up for debate, right? But supposedly they are. I find it very hard to find any Christianity in what he said. Basically, he said we're going to drive them off their land. He even admits that their graves of their ancestors are the land that they're driving them off of. Now, we consider that type of land pretty hallowed here nowadays in the United States. But anyway, they're going to drive them off their land. They're going to drive them away from their cemeteries where their ancients are buried. They're going to drive them out to the west, where they will live in wonderful land of Gila monster and snake and sand. excuse me for being a liberal heart, a bleeding heart liberal, but I find that obnoxious. And it was a different time, I understand, a completely different time. But the fact remains, the white man wanted the land for himself. The white man didn't care and didn't like the Indians because the Indians didn't like the white man. Well, we have an incoming call. Let's hear what this person has to say. Hi, you're on the air. This is Glenn. How can I help you?
Hi, Glenn. Hello. What is the name of the song that you play by Jakayla Carr?
You mean the one at the beginning of our show?
Is this a gospel station?
I'm sorry, this is WWGH? We're on the air?
Oh, no, they gave me the wrong number, I'm sorry.
Yeah, okay, that's fine. Have right. a nice day. Thanks for calling.
Right.
All right. I've had that happen. I have a lady that I talk with almost weekly now because she calls the wrong number all the time. My number at my house is one number different than her son's number, and she hits it occasionally, and we talk for about 5 minutes, or not 5 minutes, about a minute, 2 minutes, and we've become friends. She lives in Columbus, and she's all alone. She's an older lady, and I find it fun to talk to her because it gives her somebody to talk to if her son isn't around. Anyway, what do you feel about that speech? You're welcome to call in if you'd like to and tell me what you think about that speech, or just think about it, how arrogant we are as a nation at times. I think that's one of the things. When I was growing up, the book called Ugly American was out, and I read it, or I read parts of it. As you know, I don't read well, so I only read parts. I kind of scanned it, but it made me very aware of what a lot of countries think of Americans and why they think that way. Now, we think it's rude of them to think of us as ugly Americans. But if you watch the way when you're a tourist and you go, even if you just go to Canada, Americans seem to be kind of haughty about the way they treat their neighbors. And not all Americans, some probably most Americans are not, but there are some that can be very haughty and act as if they are better than the other person, when in fact, right now, our reputation is kind of falling on fallow ground. It's we're not very well respected, and I believe maybe rightfully so. And we have to learn how to improve those thoughts about us. Well, we've got about. It's 27 minutes after the hour, and we'll wait for about 3 minutes for another break. But I just wanted to read that to you. I promised I would yesterday on A Progressive Life. After I, and what led up to that is I read two speeches by two different Indian or Native American or whatever we're supposed to call them, Native Americans, chiefs, and what they felt. And it was, they didn't see that the government of the United States was doing them any big favors. They basically saw the United States as an enemy. And I think I kind of agree with them. Well, I'm going to get back to our trivia. And the reason why I'm going to get back to is because I had a rough week. I've been criticized from everybody, from my, even my puppy thinks I was up too late last night. My puppy looked at me like, what are you doing still awake? That was at about 4 o'clock this morning. I was thinking. I like to think. That's what I do now that I know I'm an old man. I can't go do anything physical. Well, I can, and I do. I walk every day. My puppy dog thinks I should be asleep at 4 o'clock because she'd like to be asleep at 4 o'clock, and I'm moving around, so stop it. All right. Let me check my time here. I only have about less than a minute, so I'm not going to get into any more trivia, but we will after we come back from the break. I've got lots more trivia. And then don't forget, we're going to go into Swap Shop at 12:15 or whatever time we get out of the news. And you're welcome to call in 740-383-9944. You're welcome to call in and tell me what you want to sell or what you want to give away or what your where your garage sale is going to be. The only thing we ask is that you not try to sell like cars or guns or houses, anything that requires a registration. All right, we'll be back after about 2 minutes.
Charlie, do you remember when Mr. McFeely from Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood came to visit us?
Yes, I do. All three times. What a great time we had.
Yes, riding in the popcorn parade twice with him was great.
He made more speedy deliveries that day than the post office does all year.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. Don't miss it.
/180/111, and I had a stroke.
I couldn't speak or walk.
/150/90, and I had a stroke.
This is what high blood pressure sounds like. You might not feel its symptoms, but the results from a stroke are far from silent. Get back on your treatment plan or talk with your doctor to create a plan that works for you. Go to loweryourhbp.org.
Head to toe, everything's changed.
Brought to you by the American Stroke Association, American Medical Association, and the Ad Council.
All right, we're back here on WWGH. I'm Glenn Coble. This is On the Air, and we'll be on the air for about another 30 minutes. Then we'll take a break, about a 15-minute break, and give you the news and the obits and the lots of information, and then weather, and then we'll come back to Swap Shop. Swap Shop has been picking up a little bit, and we'd love to have you call in. If you'd like to call in to Swap Shop at after 12:15, call 740-383-9944. Or if you want to, you can write to us, and let me give you that number or the address where you can write to us. You know, put it on a 3x5 card or a postcard or even a letter. I love letters. Do you get letters anymore? I get very few handwritten letters. If I get a handwritten letter, it's probably from one of my daughter-in-laws. They both still do write occasionally, I believe. All right, the address, WWGH Radio. And if you want to, you can put Swap Shop on that. 165 West Center Street, Suite 208, Marion, Ohio, 43302. All right, we got a phone call. Let's go back to the phones. Hi, you're on the air. How can we help you?
Yes, I just was listening to the thing about the Indians,
yeah.
And that is very true. My father-in-law was a full-blooded Chippewa Indian, and they treated those people terrible.
Yes, they did, yeah. And I think more and more of that is being noted, but I'm 74, and when I was in grade school and junior high and high school, nobody told me that we treated them poorly.
Oh, they were terrible. Even, you know, they shipped him out to Oklahoma, and he finally got married my mother-in-law, and he moved back this way, but nothing is ever said about that, so thank you very much for reading that.
Oh, well, I appreciate you calling in, and I will try to continue. I'm kind of doing this as an education. I'm reading speeches from people that we've never heard from, but should be very famous. So thank you very much for your call.
Okay, bye-bye.
Have a great day. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye.
All right. That's I of course, I love hearing people call me and say they like what I'm doing. But I really think that we need to do that we need to like finding out about our diversity, about things that we've done badly so that we can correct them. We've got another phone call. Let's go to the call.
You're on the air. How can we help you? Hello, you're on the air.
This is an important message. Do not hang up the phone. Your Google business.
I'm going to hang up the phone because it can't possibly be an important message. What do you say about that? Don't you hate those spam calls? We get them here just like you get them at home. I'm lucky on my little phone tells me exactly where the phone call's coming from. Now, they've gotten pretty smart, and I've gotten some spam calls from Marion, Ohio. But if you're trying to get a hold of me and you live outside of Marion, maybe if you live in Columbus, I'll answer. Maybe if you live in Delaware, I'll answer. Any other town, I'm clicking you off. I actually have clicked my son off. he lives in Worthington, and I didn't catch it quickly enough, and I killed him. I clicked that phone off quicker and you can shake a stick. Anyway, I don't know where that came from. don't you hate those, though? Yeah, you know, they came up, I would guess, maybe 10, 15 years ago with a do not call list that you could call in and say, do not my call. And then that kind of helped for a while. And they also made it supposedly so that you could be on the do not call list for your cell phones. Well, that hadn't worked so well. And I really wish they had followed up on that. Supposedly, if you got the name and address of those people, you could demand that they be stopped. But I don't know that anybody's done that. You know, that's one of the things we have. We have laws so that people will do the right thing. But people that know how to use that system have learned how to do the wrong thing but hide behind the right thing, right? All right, we got another phone call. Let's see if this is also from out of the town. Nope, this is a local person. Hi, you're on the air.
How you doing, Glenn?
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, not too bad. I caught the tail end of your little speech that you were putting on. You're very informative. I like listening to that stuff.
Well, it's stuff that we don't normally hear, right? That one was a speech by Andrew Jackson about the removal of the Native American.
Well, they weren't too politically correct on that, were they, back then?
No. I don't think they knew what political correctness was back then, no. If you were a white male, you were right. And it continues to some degree.
Yeah, you're right about that, but pretty much the government pretty much duped the American Native into some stuff.
We sure did, yeah.
But other than that, I agree with you on your spam calls there. I mean, it's just saying what they will come up with.
I don't know why we can't do away with them. Make, you know, I'm not a big fan of making new laws or anything like that, but you would think that if, well, I guess the way I'm doing away with it is if I get a phone call from somebody I don't know, I put them on block. And so I won't get a phone call from that number again. And it'll cost the people that are calling me, it'll cost them a little extra money to get a hold of me because they'll have to go through a different phone line. I don't know.
Well, the way I see it, I don't even give my cell phone number out to anybody because I tell them that. I said, the only reason people got my number and they're calling me is how much money they can get out of me. And
yeah. Yeah, you got to be very careful, don't you? There are a lot of bad people out there.
You really do. You really got to watch it. There's a lot of scammers out there. It'll take you a minute.
I don't know how to tell you this, though. My phone, when you called in, told me what your phone number was. So, and that happens a lot. I'm not going to tell anybody. You have to be careful. You have to be careful.
I know you, Glenn. I know your voice and everything. I know you're going to be up and up.
So I will. I promise.
I'll take your call.
All right. Very good. Well, thank you for your call. Do you have anything else you wanted to add to the conversation?
No, not too much. I've been going in the store and finishing up grocery shopping.
All right.
I'll be here for the rest of the day.
Put your mask on.
Amen.
All right. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Yes, sir. Bye-bye.
I love hearing from him. He calls occasionally. He has such a nice voice, a nice, pleasant-sounding voice. I went into the grocery store yesterday. I do that usually on Wednesdays. I go at a time when I'm pretty sure there won't be other people there. And I'm usually right. Yesterday I was wrong, but I'm usually right. You know, I'm buying all this food, and I'm saying to myself, "Ooh, I really want those chips, or ooh, I really want those peanuts, or ooh, I really want this apple pie." I was looking at everything that was bad for me, right? So obviously, I hadn't had lunch yet, and it was late afternoon. not late afternoon, mid afternoon. I started thinking, "Oh my gosh." I think I must have gained 50 pounds since the COVID-19 started. And I hadn't been weighing myself. I had known that I was eating bad stuff. I'm eating bad stuff because I only go to this one store and they have a lot of really goodies that I like to eat. I thought, well, I'm gonna look today. I'm going to get on the weighing machine and look. And I did, and I was pleasantly surprised that I had only gained 3 pounds. I really thought I had gained 10, but I had only gained 3. So now I guess I have to figure a way to cut back again. I used to go on the low-carb diet, but I had a heart attack about 9 years ago, and I'm not sure what type of diets I'm allowed to go on, so I don't really go on diets. The only diets I go on are I will cut back my calorie count, and that seems to help, but I never get below I'm always going to be considered obese. I never get down below that. I'd have to, let's see, right now I'd have to lose about 15 pounds to get below the obese thing. I'm not morbidly obese, thank you very much, but I am above what the government says is obese. But, you know, the government also said now that my heart, my blood pressure is supposed to be down to something like 120 over 60, or, you know, I'm making that up, but it's really low, and I've never had a blood pressure that low. And I was a high school and college athlete, and I'm pretty sure that I was in pretty good shape back then. And my blood pressure has always been about what it is now. My blood pressure did go up, but not way up. When I had my heart attack, they put me on all sorts of medicine for stuff that I didn't really think I had. But anyway, I love my doctor. He's taking care of me, and I will do as he says. I found out that you can ask your doctor questions without getting lambasted for it. My father-in-law is a doctor. My brother was a doctor. My Our brother-in-law was a doctor. My grandfather was a doctor. I had a lot of doctors in my family. And I know one or two of them didn't like to be questioned about their veracity about medicine. But it's a new world. We've got to be brave. We've got to stand up for ourselves. And we also have lots of pharma out there trying to sell our doctors on selling us pills or convincing us to use pills. So do some research. Don't do so much research it turns you into a hypochondriac. But if they ask you to do a new drug, ask them what the side effects are and ask them, do you think it's worth it for me to put up with that side effect just to lower my blood pressure by 2 points? You know, yeah, you know, just be honest with your doctor and ask him honest to goodness questions. And most of them are pretty darn good people. Matter of fact, I don't know a doctor I don't like. Anyway, all right, let's get back to the trivia. Don't forget, in about 15 minutes, we're going to go to Swap Shop. So get your stuff ready to sell. Let me ask you one question here, maybe two. We've got only about a minute before we have one more break. What is the largest planet in our solar system? Largest planet in our solar system. If you'd like to answer, 740-383-9944. But we only have about a minute, less than a minute now. So the second question, what has a gravitational pull so strong that even light cannot escape it? I know this one. All right. I'm going to give you both answers. So don't call in. All right. Don't call in. This is not one we'll have you call in on. The first answer, what is the largest planet in our solar system? No, it's not the sun. The sun is not a planet. It's a star. All right, the largest planet in our solar system is Jupiter. Big planet, big planet. And what has a gravitational pull so strong that even light cannot escape?
Did you know
escape?
President Harding's Black dog, hole. Laddie Boy, had a gold collar?
That's not so unusual.
Really?
No, he had a golden collar. I have a golden voice. Tomato, tomato.
WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM, The Talking Place.
Which button am I?
When every second counts, you can't wing it.
Guys, a little help up here?
In a home fire, you may have less than 2 minutes to get out. So make a family home fire escape plan. Then practice home fire drills at least twice a year so everyone knows what to do when they hear. Prepare your family at ready.gov/firedrill. Brought to you by FEMA, the Ad Council, and Make Safe Happen.
Well, we're back here on the air, and I'm Glenn Coble. You're listening to WWGH Radio here in Marion, Ohio, 107.1 on your FM dial. And we got about 15 more minutes, and we're going to do a little bit more trivia. We did have, I did read Andrew Jackson's speech on how they were going to remove the Indians. He tried to couch it in language that made it look how good we're going to do for our Native American friends. And I think we've all come to find out that it wasn't so good. If you've traveled out west and gone by the Native American reservation areas, it certainly doesn't look good. And we should be proud of our... It is our heritage, even though, well, my daughter-in-law, the one that married my son out in California, she has some Native American background, And so I'm very proud of her. I'm just proud of our diversity. What can I say? I love America. And the reason why I love America is because we have black people, we have white people, we have yellow people, we have red people, we have Muslims, we have Christians, we have atheists, we have Sikh people, we have Baha'i people. We have everything in the United States. And what's not to love about that? I mean, you can get so smart just talking to people that are different than you are. I struggle with finding out why people don't like other people. I just don't understand. And maybe I'm ignorant. Maybe I am a bleeding heart liberal, and I'm proud of it. But I just don't understand why people don't enjoy the differences that we have. I understand why people don't like other people. There are a lot of people not to like. This weekend, this past week, I've struggled to find the kindness in my heart for some people. I found that if I just ignore those people and go away from them, I'm much better off. Don't respond. Because if you respond to ignorance, you're just being ignorant yourself. That's my feeling. I'm sorry about that. If you are one of those people and you feel like I've cast a pall upon you, don't call me. I'm not interested in hearing your complaints. All right. This is kind of interesting. Which 1998 Disney film was Lindsay Lohan's film debut? You know, we had a young lady that worked out at Steak and Shake that looked like Lindsay Lohan. Every time I went in there, I told her, "You look just like Lindsay Lohan." And she's told me that other people had said that to her. She's long gone. She hadn't been there in years. But one of the reasons why I like going there is just to look at her. And she was very pleasant. Yes, I do like eye candy, even at my age. All right. Anyway, Lindsay Lohan's film debut was Parent Trap. Not a movie I loved. Matter of fact, I think I watched it only part the way through. All right. All right. This one is, the movie was so boring, I'm not even going to ask this question, okay? I'm going to move on. What were the two sides of World War II known as? I'll give you a couple, 3 minutes to answer that one. What were the two sides of World War II known as? One side was us, the United States, and the other side included Germany and others. What were those sides known as during World War II? I don't remember World War II because I was, I'm going to tell you this, and it's not a bad thing. My father told me I was conceived on Victory in Japan Day. Okay, we do have a caller after that disgusting note. All right, caller, you're on the air. This is, we're on the air.
Hi, Glenn. The Axis and the Allies.
You got it. Well, yeah, the Axis and the Allies were, now, which was which?
The Axis was Germany.
Yeah, you got it. All right.
It's Axis down to Italy, I guess they call
yeah,
it.
Yeah, cool. It include Mussolini and his crew. Yeah. And also didn't it include Japan? Wasn't that part of the Axis? I don't know.
I don't think
was part.
That was the Axis.
That
no.
might have been a third group that we yep. added later, huh?
Yeah, it was.
All right.
Also, I don't know if anybody had mentioned that the group of crows is a murder.
Ah, yes. I asked about
that. Very similar to the mafia, but you know.
I said mafia. Right. I knew it was bad.
Yeah, that's right.
All right. A murder is a group of crows. Yeah. I've always loved that one, yeah. But I never can remember.
But I've never ever heard anybody use it.
No.
You know, in
oh,
the
there goes a murder.
Right.
No. And we have lots of murders here.
We have a lot
Marion.
Of those, right? They're not all crows.
Yeah, that's unfortunately true.
Right.
All right. Well, thanks for calling in, and here's your attaboy.
All right.
Bye. Bye-bye.
Yes, he's absolutely right. It was the Allies and the Axis. And the Axis, if somebody knows for sure whether Japan was included in the Axis, I don't think, I like the caller, don't think it was considered, but it was. They ended up working with Germany and Italy. That was kind of an ugly situation in Italy. Someday look up what they did to Mussolini after toward at the end of the war. It wasn't nice. It wasn't friendly. It was somebody asked me about well on Facebook, on Twitter. I had mentioned that you know what happened to Marie Antoinette when she told the general public to eat cake. Now, I was referring to current situation, and I really thought that some of the things that were said were basically saying, Americans that don't agree with us, go eat cake. Well, anyway, I also pointed out I hoped that the guillotine blade was dull. I once asked my father-in-law, or my father, grandfather, who was a doctor, I said, what would it feel like to have a guillotine on your, you know, go across your neck? And he said, well, first of all, you wouldn't remember. It happens so quickly. But he said it would probably feel like a piece of ice going across the back of your neck just for an instant. And he said, but you wouldn't ever remember it or even think about it because it would be so quick. And so ever since then, I thought, man, maybe the guillotine's not a bad way to go. I'm not gonna try to stick my head in a guillotine to see. I'm going to pass on that, okay? All right. That's the one I didn't want to ask because I hated that movie. All right, here's a good question. What number did Derek Jeter wear on his New York Yankees jersey? What number? This is one that probably a lot of people know. But there are a lot of people. Every time I've ever gone into a bar and sat down and started talking to somebody, especially if they're males, and they find out that I was in intercollegiate athletics for 18 years, they want to talk about sports. I don't know how to tell you. If you see me in a bar, which you probably won't anymore, but if you see me in a bar and you want to talk sports, find somebody else. It's kind of boring to me after 18 years. Plus, I don't remember all these things, like what is Derek Jeter's, what was his number when he was playing with the New York Yankees. I will give you the answer to that here in a minute, but that's the type of thing that just bores me to tears. Plus, I always hear those guys saying how wonderful they were as a high school baseball player or a high school football player. And you know the stories are aggrandized. I played high school and college football, and I ran track in high school and college. What else? I was a wrestler for 1 year in high school. What else did I do? I did some other sport, but I tried to play basketball in grade school. But the guy that was sitting in front of me, the guy that got the call, not me, the guy that played the point guard that I didn't get to play, was Michael Warren. Now, if you remember Michael Warren, he was the black cop on Hill Street Blues. He was also a guard for UCLA when they were in the process of winning 10 national championships. And Michael was there for three of them. Michael was a phenomenal basketball player. When I became a freshman in high school, I tried out. I saw Mike there. We played against each other very briefly. You know, went out and dribbled the ball. And that was the last time I played basketball. Now, my youngest son is a phenomenal basketball player. He was an all-state basketball player. But my eldest son, unfortunately, got my genes. He can't walk and dribble. So we both have similar athletic prowess as far as that goes. Now, to be nice to my son, Christopher. He was a college middle distance runner and very good. What vitamin or vitamin, as they say in England, does the sun's ultraviolet rays help the skin produce? Now, I didn't realize that the vitamin that it was produced by the skin. But yes, it's the ultraviolet rays help the skin produce what vitamin? I'll give you a second here. We're almost out of time, at least for this hour. And then we're going to go into a swap shop. So don't forget that. What is a jaggery used in Indian cooking? Jaggery. What is jaggery used in Indian cooking? And we have a lady that that was just nominated to run for Vice President of the United States that has Indian background. She probably knows the answer to this. It's sugar. Jaggery is sugar in Indian cooking. Now, I'm not sure whether... Now, they're not telling me on this whether they're talking about a Native American or whether they're talking about people from India. My guess is, because it stated it as Indian cooking, my guess is that they're talking about the Asian country of India. All right. Derek Jeter wore which number when he was with the Yankees? He wore number 2. I don't know anybody else that ever wore number 2. My number in college or high school and college for football was 84. I don't remember what my number was in basketball. It might have been 5. I have pictures online of all the different teams I was on. I'm going to have to go back and look to see what my numbers were. All right. What TV show won the most Emmys in 2018? What TV show won the most Emmys in 2018? I would never, ever have guessed this. Now, we only have about 30 seconds, 20 seconds. So I'm going to give this answer to you, and I hope you will tune in to Swap Shop here in about 15 minutes. The answer to that, the ultraviolet rays produce vitamin D. And the marvelous Mrs. Maisel won the Emmys in 2018.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM.